That reminds me of that story I saw yesterday that was like, new study shows sports fans have better mental health than other. And it was like, to whom? It says who? I think we're all nuts.
Yeah. What's the baseline we're comparing it to? And no how clue. Can I run away from that? Good Lord.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. We think you guys are crazy. That's Mike Golden Jr. That is Katie Nolan. Let's talk about crazy sports.
I'm crazy too, if it helps.
Are you more excited for March Madness because Gonzaga is undefeated?
Yesterday on this program, I learned that Gonzaga was undefeated. Who knew? Apparently you did. Anyway, yesterday was also the first time I watched Gonzaga play basketball. I turned on my television. It was on ESPN. It was halftime. They were down by 12. They'd only been down by double digits four times in the last 10 years. And then they blew BYU's doors off after that, right? The difference between this Gonzaga team and all the other Gonzaga teams that you're probably thinking of, except for the most recent history, they got dudes on this team. Like, this isn't some plucky underdog story anymore. Jalen Suggs is not playing for nobody's plucky underdog. They have got players. Is that going to be enough to get people to care about watching this tournament? Not if they didn't care before. Like, the lure of an undefeated season builds as you go round by round. Maybe once we get in the tournament, they'll be able to build up that narrative and people to get on it. But honestly, we have done a poor job of selling the fact that something might happen this season that hasn't happened in 45 years.
And people tend to build that interest when they're already bought in to begin with. And for whatever reason, Gonzaga has been in one of those tiers of programs that it takes a lot for us just to get the inertia to get to that point where we're invested right now. And so I think, honestly, for me, as we get ready to head into March Madness in a year where we've seen sports fandom overall tested in a lot of ways, as people's calendars have been thrown off and their viewing habits have changed, I would actually say the thing that's got me more interested in March Madness has been Juwan Howard and what's going on at Michigan with that program. The fact that that rivalry with Ohio State actually meant something in any sport, in any facet of that school, since the football rivalry waved bye-bye to that a while ago. I think the draw on that and the way that that now carries into the tournament and the Big Ten tournament coming up this weekend, to me, has been the thing that I know has drawn my eyes more and more to March Madness.
For me personally, finding out that Gonzaga is undefeated actually makes me less excited for March Madness because I like to fill out my bracket with integrity. And for me, integrity means filling out a bracket with absolutely zero knowledge of any of the teams or how well they're doing or the names of anybody playing on any of the teams. I understand that's not everybody's way. It's always been my way. I'm comfortable with it being my way. And the thing that stinks is I always have Gonzaga going further than everyone thinks they're going to go, which usually ends up benefiting me as people's brackets get busted. And now Gonzaga is undefeated. So everyone's going to have them going really far. And now I got to pick another team to randomly throw my support behind, and I'll bet it doesn't have a fun Z in the middle, and that's just not as interesting for me. And so, no, I'm bummed that they're undefeated, because now who am I going to pick?
Here's what I do think Gonzaga can do to generate more interest. And by the way, I imagine a lot of people are learning, yes, the tournament is next week. Here is what Gonzaga can do to get us some more interest. They either need to get a whole lot more dudes that can dunk or a lot more jerks. I don't have anybody to love or hate in college basketball anymore. After Duke decided that they weren't going to be obnoxious year after year after year, the whole thing lost a lot. Like, Gonzaga, we need you to do that. Get some jerks on the squad. What's your man's name? Zach Collins? In the league, people always seem like they're trying to fight him. Get more of those dudes. Good dudes who are really obnoxious. And I'm telling you, college basketball will be back in bright lights.
Sweep the leg, Gonzaga. Sweep the leg.
Or add another Z.
Gonzaga?
Ooh, fun.
Or Gonzaga. Gonzaga, like Gonzaga. You know what I mean?
Oh, put yeah, I get it.
Gonzaga.
What are your thoughts on Myers Leonard and the reaction from the Miami Heat?
All right, Myers Leonard, backup big man for the Heat. He is also a professional gamer, and he put on the headset and he got on Twitch to play video games because people watch each other play video games these days. And he did something else that people often do while they play video games, which is use slurs. This time he used a pretty tried and true anti-Semitic slur. It went around, as you might imagine, it caused a controversy. He now cannot rejoin the Miami Heat while they and the NBA investigate the situation. And Myers Leonard then put out an apology where he said that he had no idea what that word meant, except problem is when he did this on the stream, when you hear it, he took a second and paused. I know that pause. That pause is, huh, this might mess up my money. And then he went and set his money on fire anyway, saying something like so explicitly hateful, honestly, that there's no way that you can ultimately defend it. Now, the reaction from the Heat, I think, is just figuring out what exactly do we do. I have a serious time doubting that Israeli-born owner Mickey Arison is going to have a problem levying a punishment if he so decides that that's the thing to do, right? I imagine that something like that will happen. It is just mind-blowing, though, A, that he would think in this day and time that this was something even halfway appropriate to do, knowing that people were listening, and B, the idea that he put out that apology and tried to say that he did not know. You didn't run this by anybody. We don't believe you. You need more people.
Yeah, if you're going to be out here saying words you don't know the meaning of, then maybe make them like smart-sounding words. I do that all the time on TV, and it's not going to get me in trouble most of the time. You don't say words you do not know the meaning of. And listen, I've seen a lot of people on the internet try to defend this in the sense that it's like, if you're not a gamer, you don't know. That's just how it is when you play games online. As a person who spends way too many hours playing games online, I can both confirm that this is true and call BS on that being an actual reason for this to be in any way okay. I play video games online, many of them cooperative, meaning I need to work with a bunch of strangers to achieve a common goal, and still, I keep my chat muted and I do not turn my microphone on because it's going to ruin my experience to find out the people that I'm working with are saying the things I can probably assume that they're saying. I play video games to have fun, not to hear racial slurs or to be told that I'm a woman and asked to see my boobs and told me I didn't know you play video games. You're a girl. Oh my God, you're a girl. All of this stuff that people get away with saying, it's a video game, you get angry, you just say the meanest thing you can think of, it's ruining the experience for many other people. And I don't know how much louder we have to say that or how much nicer and higher pitched I have to make my voice for you to maybe listen to me, but it would be really sick if you guys would stop doing this, especially when your apology is going to be, I didn't know it meant that. Well, there's a reason we don't want to hear it, and it's because it means that. So stop saying it. The other thing for me is to all these gamers who are relating to that aspect of it and feeling bad for Myers Leonard and defending him, this is a guy who, unlike you gamers, plays a sport competitively. Like, you may be getting worked up while you play video games because it's the most competitive aspect of your life. It is not the most competitive aspect of Myers Leonard's life. So if this is how he reacts in a high-stress situation in the midst of a competition, I'd like to think that I hope that he doesn't do this when playing basketball, but logically, it sounds like something that might happen on the court, which is why this isn't just a Myers Leonard issue. It's why it is an NBA issue, and it's why I hope this investigation is actually an investigation into what happened and what they can do about it, as opposed to how much they have to punish him in order to pass in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, and I think as Katie pointed out, there are multiple camps of stupid at work in here. An entire community rising up to defend this in a way that, listen, I'm not a gamer now, but I remember logging on when I was in college and hearing 14-year-old kids say some of the darkest, weirdest, most awful stuff you can imagine. And that's what's a reminder here as well. Myers Leonard is a 29-year-old grown man who's lived a long enough life to understand way more of the context of this situation than anyone who has an even inkling of trying to defend him should be able to defend in that spot. So the notion that he was ignorant to me is just seems like something that's a flat out lie. But if you want to even believe that, it comes maybe not from a place of deep-seated hate. I can't imagine that Myers Leonard, if he's going to plead ignorance, was also so preoccupied to actively hate people from this background, but to not care about them so much that this word was just a word that you get to use like any other word in a sentence in the middle of that stream is at the core of all this. And we have this conversation all the time, and people get so bothered by the idea that having to change their language because a word represents something more to a group of people that it's associated with, then it shouldn't be worth their time for some reason, when in actuality, it's the easiest thing that you can do in examining the way we go about this is to say my words are clearly not always just words. There is a lot of baggage that goes along with this. And so I need to take the time to consider them more than to just dismiss this whole group of people so that I can use whatever words I want, response to whatever situation I want.
But the whole reason they use the words is because it's offensive, right? Like, that's the point of doing it. My question for Myers Leonard, though, and I just want somebody to really ask him this when he says, I had no idea what that word meant. What did you think it meant? Right? Let's start from there. Everything falls apart. Like, really? So you just came up with that one out of nowhere. How'd you pick that one? So where'd it come from? What'd you think it meant? And then from there, he's going to be out there sweating like Papa John. Maybe it's going to take him 20 months to get this fixed.
Up next on HQ.
If we get some more contact out there, maybe we can get some more fights. Like, do you realize that we have a whole generation of basketball fans who have never seen their favorite players ever get into a fight? When I was a kid, I saw all my favorite players get into fights at some point.
Would the NBA be more fun if they limited the amount of threes a team could take?
All right, go to ESPN.com. Kevin Arvitz has a fascinating story up about really the effect of the three-pointer on the current NBA game and people who are in the game who recognize maybe, just maybe, this whole thing has gone a little bit too far when you start realizing what used to be record-breaking numbers not that long ago, 15 years ago, but have you at the bottom of the league in three-pointers attempted per game by team. It has shifted greatly because people woke up one day and realized not simply that three is greater than two, but that three is 50% greater than two. There's a math problem with the setup in the current NBA. The problem is the three-pointer also creates a level of spacing that allows for the game to be far less congested than it used to be. It has provided benefits. To me, what they need to do is widen the court and move the three-point line out. It has become a shot that is a little bit too easy if the game is going to be played in this way and people are going to shoot as many of them as they do. Because what you get as a result of people shooting all those threes, you get a lot more blowouts. You get a lot more playoff series that not just have blowouts, but swing from team to team because of the high variance of whether or not your team is making three-pointers on a given night. So I am an old-ish type person who thinks that the three-pointer is going a little bit too far in the modern game, but I think it has to be kept because otherwise you don't want to go back to the way we used to be living, even if you remember it nostalgically.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult in that way to sell it just because while basketball isn't baseball, it's still a sport where we love the generational comparisons enough to say changing the dimensions might be a difficult thing. But I think one of the easy fixes, and the NFL kind of saw this during this last season, because I remember Kevin Seifert wrote this article about a month into the year that through 48 games, they were calling 59% fewer holding penalties than they had the year before. They were calling 45% less than they had in the 5 years prior. And no one watching cared because scoring was up, games were moving faster. You took away the thing that was obstructing where you wanted the game to go. And I think for this, I think it was Dwayne Casey that brought it up in this article. Open three-pointers and the prevalency of them are still predicated on getting penetration first. And when you take all of the ability of defenders to guard those guys going through the lane out of basketball, it makes it a lot tougher. So I think if you just make the edict to officials, hey, we're going to allow a little more contact for guys directly defending that guy who's usually the party starter on offense here, you might be able to get back to a more balanced version of the game without necessarily having to overtly change things too much.
I think in general, the question being, can adding more rules make this more fun is like, not usually, but it does require you to take a look at the rules you have and make sure that they form the game that you want to play. I also would just like to say, as a person who isn't anti-analytics, but has been very open about the fact that they don't increase my enjoyment of the game, mostly because I don't understand them, I was very early on the three is greater than two train. It is the only analytical statement in regards to numbers and math that I've ever made on this program or otherwise. I have said, I don't know a lot about math, but three is bigger than two. And now here I see all these smart people coming out being like, three is 50% bigger than two. And I'm like, I had that first and I want a little bit of credit.
Let's give Katie all the credit for recognizing that three is greater than two. Nobody thought about that before. That is all you. Now, Golo, you make a good point, though, about contact. And here's a good reason to bring contact back into the NBA, because a lot of y'all are too young to recognize the day we're being good at defense. Was about being good with this forearm, right? If we get some more contact out there, maybe we can get some more fights. Like, do you realize that we have a whole generation of basketball fans who have never seen their favorite players ever get into a fight? When I was a kid, I saw all my favorite players get into fights at some point. It allowed for a whole new level of argument. Blame the three-pointer, because everything that comes around incentivizing it stops us from seeing our favorite basketball players fight.
We have a generation of people who see, like, the biggest stars get in a banana boat together instead of seeing them get into a fracas.
And this goes back to Bo's original point about college basketball and Gonzaga is we need more dudes getting in and starting fights at the college level so that these players are used to this when they get to the NBA. So all of a sudden, it's not a culture shock the first time you get a forearm thrown into your chest and you're expected to actually swing and not just hold me back, and get outside of the circle with everybody.
We want blood today.
That's right.
Do you question if Dave Gettleman is still in full-bloom love with Daniel Jones?
All right, Dave Gettleman is the general manager of the New York Giants. Wow, he's a piece of work. Anyway, he was the one guy. He was convinced he was smarter than everybody else, and so he drafted Daniel Jones when nobody else would have drafted Daniel Jones with the sixth pick in the draft, and this is what he was saying when they took.
I mean, all these guys were at the Senior Bowl, so I decided to stay. I had already, you know, made up my mind I was staying for the game. And frankly, Jordan, he walked out there and I saw a professional quarterback. After the three series that I watched, I saw a professional quarterback. So that's when I was in full bloom love.
Now, Daniel Jones has not, like, been good since then. Let's hear what Dave Gettleman has to say about him now that the Giants have a high pick that maybe they could consider using a quarterback on.
Well, you do your evaluation. We've had Daniel for 2 years. We've done the evaluation on him, and we really believe he's the guy. So it's no reason to, you know, no reason to go look. I mean, everybody, you know, what we're doing isn't fantasy football. We're not doing that. You know, we've got a conviction on him. He's everything we want. He's got all the physical skills. And again, I say this all the time. You know, the kid just finished his second year of NFL football. All right. How many of us, after 2 years at our new job, were great?
Can I just say it? Can I just say that this has such obvious, I met a hot guy at a bar and thought he was going to be the one, and then 2 years into the relationship, you're like, look, he's good. I there's no reason for me to go look somewhere else. He's good, and I like him, and I like him a lot, and I'm going to keep liking him. That's not good energy to project. Bo's either frozen or freaked out.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I've just been here the whole time, just looking at that. And I get, he knows if Daniel Jones is, like, officially declared a bust, the Giants are looking for a new general manager. That is the only thing that I can take from this. He's like, what do you want me to say? I quit.
It's a reminder that if you're a fan of a team and you're wondering why we haven't made that important move that makes our team better in a way that we can all recognize, it's because egos and livelihoods are often tied to these one big decisions like this. And so you've got to sit there quaking his boots, telling blatant lies, like the last crop of quarterbacks we saw in that draft weren't many of them great in year one of their new job.
I will say this, though. If I was Gettleman, I would sit down at that table and say, I mean, you guys wanted me to take Haskins, and then we'd all have to be quiet. Hmm?
Look, I already jokingly said that I took credit for the analytics thing, so I can't say both of these in one show. So I need one of you to say for me that I was on TV for the first time in 2013. I had my own show by 2015. Can one of you just make sure you say that so we can put that in the... No? All right. Well, at least we all know it.
Streaming on Netflix. Marriage or mortgage?
What? God.
This doesn't sound that interesting based on the title, which makes me think it might be crazy interesting because they had to get past the initial, tell them what the title was, and then it still got sold.
We want a house. I mean, that's the smart decision to make. But
Evan, you can just say.
I want our wedding to be the best wedding of all the ones that we've been to.
We want to start a family soon.
We need more space.
If we buy a house, it could be years before we can afford the wedding we've always wanted.
We could do both.
No, we can't.
That's where we come in. Owning a house is the all-American dream. I'm a real estate agent. I can make that dream come true.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
The best part about being a wedding planner is being able to create these huge moments for my couples.
Oh my God.
You and I are going to compete for their business.
What?
I'm going to show them they can afford a wedding that's over the top.
Oh my goodness. That bacon?
I'm going to find their dream house. It can be everything you want.
This is what we're talking about. It's in my dreams. I haven't stopped thinking about it.
You are playing so dirty.
How do we pick between the day that we deserve and we want and the future?
Do we have a decision?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
It's the house. It's the house.
Katie, why are you looking like that?
I just can't believe we've gotten to the point as a society where we have a show that's basically like, you can pick marriage or a house. And we're like, oh gosh, which am I going to pick? Instead of like, oh, we should fix the system that leads to people at the age where they need both a house and ideally would like to enter into a marriage can afford to do both.
Well, no, remember, because we're not talking about a marriage. We're talking about a wedding. And there's a difference there in the way that we have inflated the circus costs of this one-day event versus the lifetime investment of a home. But that's not what really threw me on this. What threw me is, as I'm watching this preview, I realized that I know and played with one of the guys that's on that show.
What?
His name is Alex Hubbard. He was an offensive lineman at Notre Dame, then at Tennessee. And I'm pretty sure last time on Dragon Ball Z, when I was on this show with you guys, and we talked about that FXFL, that side league I played in, that the picture you guys used has me and Hubbard in that picture. And now he is on a show where he is asked to choose between the wedding of his dreams and a home. And I am still trying to process this information.
All right, that is the show. Check out Mike Golic Jr. on Chanae and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Check out Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports